From the Lynn to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 5th day of March, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson from Total Grain Marketing, the Champaign County Elevator. We'll hear from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and I'll review some of the trade and tariff policies that President Trump outlined in last night's speech to the joint session of Congress, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, Maycorn for the day settled the nearby contract at 455 and three quarters, up four and a quarter. July 463 and a quarter, four higher, and December new crop unchanged. $4.46 and three quarters of a cent the settlement price. May beans, $10.11 and three quarters, 12 and three quarters higher. July 1025, up 11 and a quarter. November, $10.09 and a half cents, up 6 cents. Bean meal futures, $6.30 higher. The bean oil for the day, 15 cents higher. Wheat futures up 11 and a half in the nearby May. July, the harvest month, 10 and three quarters higher. Settlement price there at $5.62. The hard red July at $5.71 and a quarter, up 8 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures up $1.90 for the day. Feeder cattle, $3.57 and a half cents higher. And lean hogs up $2.35. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, now joins us on this Wednesday as usual. Thank you, by the way, for being at the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House yesterday. Nice crowd, really good stuff happening all day long. I appreciate the work that you and Ellen Dearden did in the morning, along with all the rest of our panelists. Danny Poff was there in the morning, too, with you. Fantastic day, and I know the crowd was so appreciative of what you had to say. Not a lot to work with, actually, with soybeans, but you did get to get a few things across, I think, for producers to consider as we go forward. Did anything change from last night as you listened to the president?
You know, still a lot of uncertainty. You know, the president says we may have to endure a short period of pain, you know, as we transition. So nothing real friendly came out of that. But historically, Trump knows that the Midwest is some of his biggest support. So you would like to think that his policies will take that into account when it all is said and done.
I thought as I was watching that last night and he started to talk about other types of barriers rather than tariffs that some countries use. And usually that's, you know, phytosanitary or something along those lines, often has to do with foreign material. And I thought, man, if he only knew FM was the name we use for all that stuff, that would be that might have been made for a more interesting listen. But it did concern me because he mentioned that and then he turned around and we'll hear this in the news segment in just a second. He mentioned that and he turned around and he talked about it again when he was talking about the imposition of tariffs by the United States. And he specifically mentioned incoming agricultural products and the FM or phytosanitary issues that some of them might have. And that one concerned me as to the president possibly considering those also as an option to manage the trade war that we're entering now. Does that make a difference to you?
Well, it probably does in the big picture, but being a corn and bean buyer and talking to mainly corn and soybean producers, we do not import a lot of corn and soybeans. So even if we use non-tariff barriers like phytosanitary, that's not, we don't import a lot of corn and beans to begin with. So I'm not sure that, you know, that that's going to really help us out at, you know, very much at all as corn and soybean producers. Now, maybe other commodities, you know, would have a different view on that, but I'm not sure that that's real friendly corn or soybeans.
Well, I wondered about it mostly because Chinese have already used that with the Brazilians in this marketing year. I suppose they could reject cargoes from the United States.
Sure, exactly. I mean, and the Chinese could devalue their currency. They could, you know, they can manipulate the currency. They can do some other non-tariff structure type things to, to cut down on imports and to increase exports. So yeah, tariffs aren't the only barriers. There are other options, but I still would like to continue to think that this is all part of a negotiating tactic, and that hopefully cooler heads will prevail, and that we can get something worked out with Canada and Mexico, if not China, sooner rather than later.
What are your expectations for farmers at this point? What should they have taken away from last night? What should they be doing as it's related to thinking about old and new crop sales?
Well, there's a little bit more of a story in corn than there is in soybeans. So number one, I would say since we've dropped in the corn market, we've lost 62 cents of the $1.03 that we gained. I would say, the horse is out of the barn, so there's really not a lot to do with corn at this point. You know, when we were up higher, yes, we should have been making some sales, but and some people did. But now that we're 62 cents lower, I think we just have to be patient because, like I said, there is a story. We have demand, not only out of Mexico, but other countries are buying U.S. corn, so there is demand. The ending stocks number has continued to come down from 2.2 down to 1.5, and maybe that's as tight as it gets, but that's certainly better than something with a 2 in front of it. And then we've got South America's double crop corn planted about 2 to 3 weeks later than normal. They could still have a good crop. It's too early to say, but it does raise the risk that they will be pollinating and filling during some of their hotter and drier parts of the year. So there's still a long ways to go. And even if we do plant more acres of corn here, the weather is going to have the final say on how many acres we plant and what kind of yield we attach to those acres. It's already too wet in the southeast, and people are talking a little prematurely, I think, but talking about prevented plant acres or switching acres down there. And then, of course, we all know how dry it's been from here on west, and nothing that a couple of good inch rains wouldn't take care of. But nevertheless, as of today, we're on the dry side. So there's some concern. There'll be some risk premium put in the market relative to the weather. So I think corn has a little bit more of a story to sell, and I think farmers should be patient on corn. Soybeans, we gained 85 cents from the August lows, and we've given back 79 cents of that 85 cent rally. So we're right back where we started, kind of in the lower half of the range, just barely. If you use $10 for a midpoint, we're kind of right at that today. So it's hard to get real excited about selling beans, but if we have a little bit of a rally as a result of maybe this trade talks getting worked out a little bit better, I would be more willing to sell beans on a small rally than I would corn on a small rally at these prices.
Do you expect USDA in any significant way to update the supply and demand tables in next week's WASD report?
The demand for corn, both ethanol and exports, are ahead of pace, so I wouldn't be surprised if we, increase exports and increase ethanol a little bit. But the flip side is feed usage doesn't seem to be very good, especially with the bird flu and cattle numbers being at all-time lows, well, not 70-year lows anyway. So I guess the one might offset the other. And, the $1.5 billion is probably, I think that's probably net effect. They may change some numbers around, but I think that the bottom line is the ending stocks number stays about the same. And on soybeans, I don't think they will try to incorporate any potential trade war fatalities in the March report. I think they'll wait a while until they see whether that really plays out or not. So I guess I'm not looking for much change, but if we never look for much change and then we get something, so that's why we have big price moves one way or the other on days of the report. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Now, I was wondering mostly because Mexico is the number one importer of corn, and we already have a tariff in place. Mexico could make moves in the future, I suppose. USDA will consider that as a policy that's there, I suppose, and that could change. Looking forward, though, the 94 million acres that USDA came out for the Ag Forum for corn, do you think that'll change at the end of the month? Farmers would have been surveyed around March 1.
Right. I think that's the right number. I think that's what farmers really do intend to plant. Now, whether the weather will have the final say as to whether we actually get that many acres planted or not. I guess, I was using 94 and a half, and with the weather the way it is, the actual number may be more like 94, but 94, 94 and a half, that's enough acres. So it really kind of all boils down to the weather. And I think now with the Ag Outlook Forum number out, I think the traders are kind of conditioned to expect a 94 million number. So if we get 94 million from the March 31 acreage report, I think that's pretty well baked in. And like I say, it'll be tariffs and weather that will move this market next if the number comes out at 94 million.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Let's talk a little bit about the president's speech last night. As you've already heard, he alluded to tariffs, of course, more than once. We'll pick up with a portion of the speech where he concentrated on his use of tariffs as it's related to trade and fairness.
If you don't make your product in America, however, under the Trump administration, you will pay a tariff, and in some cases, a rather large one. Other countries have used tariffs against us for decades, and now it's our turn to start using them against those other countries. On average, the European Union, China, Brazil, India, Mexico, and Canada, have you heard of them? And countless other nations charge us tremendously higher tariffs than we charge them. It's very unfair.
To that end, the president told the joint session of Congress that new tariffs would be imposed in the month of April.
This system is not fair to the United States and never was. And so on April 2nd, I wanted to make it April 1st, but I didn't want to be accused of April Fool's Day. That's not just one day was cost us a lot of money. But we're going to do it in April. I'm a very superstitious person. April 2nd, reciprocal tariffs kick in. And whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth. Whatever they tax us, we will tax them. If they do non-monetary tariffs to keep us out of their market, then we will do non-monetary barriers to keep them out of our market. There's a lot of that, too. They don't even allow us in their market.
In the president's view, the United States, as it's related to trade, has been, quote, ripped off, unquote, for several decades. Likely, my guess is he's thinking back to the early 1990s and the GATT negotiations, or the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, and the open trade policies that were adopted across the planet.
Our new trade policy will also be great for the American farmer. I love the farmer. Yes! Who will now be selling into our home market, the USA, because nobody is going to be able to compete with you. Because those goods that come in from other countries and companies, they're really in a bad position in so many different ways. They're uninspected. They may be very dirty and disgusting, and they come in and they pour in, and they hurt our American farmers. The tariffs will go on agricultural product coming into America, and our farmers, starting on April 2nd, it may be a little bit of an adjustment period. We had that before when I made the deal with China, $50 billion of purchases, and I said, just bear with me, and they did. They did. Probably have to bear with me again, and this will be even better. That was great. The problem with it was that Biden didn't enforce it. He didn't enforce it. $50 billion of purchases, and we were doing great, but Biden did not enforce it, and it hurt our farmers. But our farmers are going to have a field day right now. So to our farmers, have a lot of fun. I love you, too.
And with that, the president seems to have changed decades-long agricultural trade policy, which has said level the playing field and U.S. agriculture will compete on the world stage. The president now expects U.S. farmers to sell into the domestic marketplace. Soybeans are an interesting problem because about 41% of this past year's crop is expected to go into the export market. Drew Lerner now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast for the global growing regions across the planet. We have a lot of ground to cover today, Drew. Can you put into context the Safrina or second crop planting rate and the weather for it?
Absolutely. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen these farmers really hustle to try to get their crops, their soybean crop harvested, and they get that Safrina corn in the ground. Well, the latest statistics from CONAB suggest that as of Sunday, the Safrina corn, second season crop, had been planted on about 89% of the total acreage. So it has about 11% that's left. And they've made huge strides, like I said. It's still been planted late, though. And we still run the risk of seeing the moisture profile diminish before the crop has completed the reproductive and filling processes, which will be in late April at the earliest for this late crop, and more likely in May. And so with that in mind, I still think there is reason to be concerned about their late planted crop. Any crop that was planted in the last 10 days to 2 weeks, I think, is going to be at risk of some lower yield. We do expect the seasonal rains to end in mid-April, and we could see some scattered showers in May. It's just too early to be able to determine how great those showers may be and also how warm it is. Because if it's hot, scattered showers will do nothing to counter the evaporation, and it will just, you know, deplete the moisture profile anyway, just a little slower maybe than it might otherwise. So we are concerned that we'll go through these next few weeks in good shape and the crop will develop well, but we are worried about what happens after the rains end, which will be, again, mid to late April, and then from that point onward. So I think there's potential for a little bit of trouble, but the majority of the crop is probably going to make it through without a lot of loss.
What are you watching in Argentina today?
You know, Argentina, when we talked last week, we talked about some significant rain that had been developing and falling up to that point, and that central parts of Argentina were getting really good rains and the crop was really in much better shape there. But we talked about it being too dry to the south and too dry to the north. Well, since then, it's rained in most areas except the far north, and the ground is now saturated in the topsoil in almost all of their major grain and oilseed production region. And so we have finally come full circle. Now we're back into a much better scenario. And the late season crops are finishing up reproduction and filling, and it's a really good environment. It will rain into Saturday for the southwest of Argentina, but the north is going to stay dry. Now, that northern area, it's primarily cotton country, maybe some minor corn and sorghum and soybeans, but it's not very important when it comes to the bottom line. So we think that most of the country has come around, and it looks like more rain will come on for late March. And so the bottom line should be really good for most of Argentina's late crop.
Here in the United States, yesterday we were expecting more rainfall, I think, than we had gotten in Champaign County, Illinois. We had Sue Martin in for our All Day Outlook. She's from Central Iowa, flew in and out without really any problems. However, sent me a photo from her backyard this morning. She was snowed in and had to work from home. Has substantial drifts there. Really a winter blizzard. Cold, a lot of snow, wind. Tell me about all the things that have been happening.
Yeah, that was a powerful storm. It developed very quickly. I'm not sure if it qualified completely for a bomb cyclone. I forgot to go look at that data, but this low pressure center started in Kansas and just grew and grew and grew overnight. And it did produce blizzard conditions in many areas in Colorado, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Iowa. Parts of Minnesota and now in Wisconsin. Wind speeds in western Kansas, not so much the blizzard part of the storm, but Garden City, Kansas, had a wind gust yesterday afternoon of 84 miles per hour. And we saw gusts occurring in most of eastern Nebraska and eastern Kansas through Iowa into southern Minnesota, ranging from about 45 to around 67 miles per hour. And that started with rain, and then it got colder overnight, and everybody started seeing snow. And yeah, blizzard conditions occurred. There's been some impressive snows. I think up around Minneapolis, they ended up with more than 10 inches. They had 2 to 6 or 7 inches occurring across a lot of these other areas. So yeah, pretty impressive. And off to the east, of course, we had severe thunderstorms for a little while and some heavy rain. It smells like spring, right? This is all the kind of thing you'd see in spring. And I think that's what's happening. The atmosphere is responding to another shot of cold air coming down from the north while we warmed up this past week. And so I think this is a great sampling of what we should expect this spring. I think we're going to have a lot of severe weather, a lot of powerful storms occurring like this. And so the eastern Midwest may be a bit too wet for a little while, and the west may get a little bit wetter, which can be helpful since they still have moisture deficits hanging around.
Were you looking, too, at the springtime weather in Europe and the Black Sea area?
Yes. You know, just this past week, we took a deep dive into the situation over there. There's been a lot of chatter about Russia's southern region and eastern Ukraine, because they were so dry when they planted last autumn. And there's been a lot of discussion about the fact that it's still dry there. Well, if you look at their topsoil moisture, it's actually better than it was last autumn. And there's room for crop to improve there if they can get timely rain this spring. So we took on this study, and what we found was that the deep soil moisture down at the root level and really down into almost the groundwater level, what we found was that there are tremendous deficits still common in most of Eastern Europe, really from Poland down into the lower Danube River basin and across Ukraine into Russia's southern region. And now we don't see this dryness when you look at the topsoil. This is something that's deep in the ground. But if we, for some reason, don't manage to get timely rain to occur this spring and we heat up, that dryness will come to the surface very quickly because there's not that much moisture in the topsoil. So this is a potential hotbed that we need to watch. The forecast that we have come up with here for the next several weeks is that a northwest flow is probably going to dominate this part of the world. So that will be a below normal precipitation bias, and temperatures will be normalish to below normal at times. So that will help to conserve that moisture, but it's not going to bring in a lot of new moisture. And so these areas may get into the warmer days of late spring and start heating up without a lot of moisture to fall back on. So the potential there is, we could run into a little problem. Now, I will tell you this. Our study for the spring did show an improvement in rain potential in May, maybe late April too. So it may turn out to be one of those situations where everybody's really worried about this, and at the last minute we start getting rain. So don't be quick to make a decision on that, but keep a close eye on it.
I'll try not to. Hey, thank you, Drew. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day and good week.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.